It fascinates me how so many people have had that ability, that they have tapped into this cosmic internet. They just never knew it.
That's right. That's right. Well, everybody has it. You have to have it.
You have to have it.
You have to have, sure, because if you are in the physical, you extend into the non-physical. Our minds are in the non-physical, not the brains, but the minds. They've explained the brain as like a switching system that keeps track of where our body is in the moving moment, and the mind as being in the non-physical. You're part of the non-physical. Therefore, if you have a good enough connection upstairs, as I always say, once you're upstairs, they're connected to the rest of the internet. So you're already plugged in. You already got your ISP, and the ISP came with birth, right? You can't lose that connection. All you can do is lose the awareness of the fact, or maybe never get awareness of the fact that you have the connection.
I don't believe in coincidences.
No, I don't either. There's no such thing.
Nope. Things happen for a reason, whether it's fate, you whatever you want to call it, but it's not a coincidence. It just is not. And I've heard so many stories of just strange things that occur. People, thinking of other people, they turn the corner and there they are.
Sure. Somebody once said that a scientific definition of coincidence is, I don't think I want to think about this anymore.
I love it. You've talked about three simple techniques. What are they?
The three simple techniques for which part of this?
Well, in terms of programming yourself and how to get it.
Okay.
To get
in terms of living more connected.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's funny you should ask that question. Somebody once asked me, let's see, where was this? It was years ago. I can remember the point of the story, but not the setup of it. But what it amounts to is, I know what it was. Someone had asked, because Rita Warren and I were doing a series of sessions, one every week, and I was putting them on the internet. On the downstairs internet, that is.
Yeah.
And so some of our friends were responding with questions, and somebody said, well, give us the best five exercises for spiritual development. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what they said, you know. And one of the things that they said was practice love every day. And you practice love. First, you keep raising the bar. They said, first, you love something like a dog that loves you. And then you love a cat, which isn't quite as lovable because the cat loves itself. And then you work to love a woodchuck, and the woodchuck doesn't care one way or the other. And then maybe a rattlesnake, and maybe you're afraid of rattlesnake, okay? So that was one. And then another one. Now, this is interesting. This isn't quite to the point of you asking, but by the fact that it's in my mind, I think I'm going to say it. And that is another one they had is practice changing points of view, which goes back to where we were before the commercial. They said it doesn't mean necessarily in an argument, but just if you're talking to somebody, like, okay, George, you and I are talking now. Practice changing points of view so that you can see where I'm coming from and I can see where you're coming from. And it can be done at different levels of depth, of course. They said that's actually a very spiritual we'll say spiritual. It's a spiritual exercise. Doesn't seem like it has anything to do with it at all, does it? But they said what that will do is weaken your identification with yourself as being different from other things, from other people. Now, the exercises you were talking about are really more determined. I need to find a way to approach this because the first of them is reprogramming your robots. And
And can you reprogram somebody?
Easily, actually. But here's the thing. You can only do it as most things in my life now, it requires extensive explanation. I'm no longer able to tell you the time. I have to tell you how to make a watch. You have an automatic reflex that kicks in whether you want to or not. I don't know. Your mother used to yell at you maybe, and now if a woman is mad at you, you freeze, you know, or you get angry or defensive or whatever it is. Okay.
Thanks to mom, right?
It is not helpful. It is making your life difficult. But what I would call a robot, or what I sometimes think of as an EXE file, at some point in your life, it said, this is what you want me to do, right? Okay, I'll do it. And what happened is, maybe you were 4 years old, and your mother was mad at you, and it was terrifying for a four-year-old to have his mother that he depends on be mad at him. Oh, God, what does this mean, you know?
Sure.
So something kicked in and said, okay, from now on, if a woman gets mad at me, I will back off, or I will do whatever, you know, or maybe I will fight back. I don't know what it would be. It would depend on the individual. That robot thinks that it's doing what you want. It's trying to help you. Okay? It's all it's doing is what you asked it to do decades maybe ago. Now, you might know that intellectually and not get anywhere with it. You know, it would be very frustrating. I always have this response. I wish I didn't, but I do. What you have to do, and you can do it very easily, you get into a nice, calm, receptive space, and you ask that robot as if it were an individual intelligence within you, a separate intelligence, which in a manner of speaking it is, and you say, how are you serving me by producing this reaction in me? And you wait. And you're not liable to get an answer in words, but you might get a memory of a situation. Maybe that memory when you're 4 years old comes up for the first time in your life.
Or maybe you get that little voice in your head.
You could, but I tend to downplay that because I'm afraid too many people expect either visuals or auditory, and they don't necessarily get what they're expecting, and they don't notice what they do get. Okay? But for whatever reason, when you get it, the thing, you can go into that feeling, and from the feeling, then you're connected with that part of yourself that was created then. It's almost like you split off a little part of yourself to continue to execute the program. And you say to it, okay, thank you for helping me all these years, but this isn't what I want. From now on, we're going to change the program. Well, now what I want is when this situation happens, just call it to my attention so that I don't lose track of it. But you leave the emotional and the spiritual and the physical reactions to me, okay? Now, if you look at it as an EXE file, what you've done is you've called it into active memory, you've changed it, you've resaved it, and now it's going to do what you told it. Okay, if you look at it as a robot, you gave the robot new instructions, and it says, oh, okay, that's what you want me to do. I can do that. That's cool. What's happening there, it takes away all the blame on yourself. People blame themselves very easily. And it takes away the blame if you're helping somebody else do this robot work, as I call it. You're not blaming them for being inferior or for being, you know, failures in any way. You're just saying to them, here's what happened. If you want to change it, just change it. It happens. I swear, George, it works easily. If someone has already done the analysis, this can take away the sting from something that they've never been able to get away from. They know why, but they haven't been able to do it, okay? Or if they're more like me, they might have the feelings and the feelings churn in, but they don't really know what goes on. It'll help them to do the analysis. Either way, as soon as you've done the analysis from the feeling, you've reprogrammed the robot, and you are, to that extent, freer.